Well, on Sunday, I had made a comment. I don't remember if it was at Sunday. Was it during Sunday school, Amber? Do you remember? I think it was during Sunday school when I made the comment about sleeping in church. About my sister sleeping in church.
I did not realize I was
asleep. I know. My image was burned into her retinas. Well, anyways, it come up. I think it was during Sunday school. And I had mentioned that in the Word of God, in the Bible, there is a story of a boy that fell asleep during church. And Ethan and Amber were not familiar with the story. And neither is Aaron. And I'm sure Beth isn't. So I pulled out the sermon that I had written on it and had been holding and waiting for the appropriate time. And we're going to go ahead and go into that tonight. Today is June 2nd, 2010, and the title of our message tonight is about sleeping in church. Now, I know I'm going to mess up this person's name, but bear with me because, you know, the Hebrew pronunciations are not good. We're going to call him... Does anybody want to take a stab at it? It's in Acts chapter 20, verse 9. It's Eutychus. Eutychus. Chapter 20, verse 9. Eutychus. Okay. Well, anyways, have you ever heard of him? Eutychus? Okay. We'll call him that. Eutychus. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. Lord, forgive me if I'm not. Okay. The only time this person got his name in Scripture was when he died from falling asleep in church. It's the only time he's mentioned in Scripture. How nice is that, right? Luke, who is the book of Acts, and they call him Dr. Luke because Luke was a doctor. He included this incident for all of the world to read down through the centuries. Way to go. Makes you glad that the Bible's been completed, doesn't it? Think about all the things that you could have been included in the Bible over. Alrighty. The story is in Acts chapter 20, starts in verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. This is referring to Paul. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So he started in the morning, obviously, when they were breaking bread, and he preached all day long, till midnight. That's a revival if I've ever heard of one. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they gathered together, as it has been in our church lately. I'm sure it was very warm. Paul preaching would have been something that a lot of people would have gathered to hear. So I'm sure the chamber where they were in the upper room was filled to the brim, which probably explains Etchius, what did we say his name was? Eutychus's reason for where he chose to sit. Besides that, he was a young boy, so he probably wanted to see. In verse 9 it says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. So he sat in a window. He was a young man. Probably, like I said, the place where they gathered was pretty full. It was warm. And the sermon went on for quite a long time. You got to figure, probably what? They broke bread in the morning, say 7-ish, and they went on till midnight. So you're looking at what? 19, 20 hours? Give or take. 12, 7, 5, 12. 17 hours or so. That's a long sermon. You guys think I get long-winded sometimes. So, as Paul And it even says in verse 9, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft, which means he fell from the third story. So picture your house. If you live in where there's stairs, that's two stories. Go one more flight up. That'd be three stories. That's how far he fell. And was taken up dead. He died. Fell asleep in church and died. And this is what they write about him in Scripture for all to hear. But what happens is Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, saying, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. No, they weren't a little comforted. They were greatly comforted. Could you imagine having to explain to this boy's mother what happened to him? You let what happen? I mean, she would have had a fit. Who wouldn't? You know, I didn't want you to go there in the first place. Can you hear her? There isn't an experienced preacher anywhere who hasn't faced the most incredible, sometimes hilarious, slumbering saints in the pews, is what we say. They bump their heads on the back of the pew in front of them. Good thing Beth sits in the front pew. They snore out loud. They stay seated when everyone stands up, and they even drool on their Bibles. It's amazing the things that you see up here from the microphone. But why? Why do people fall asleep in church? Well, there are several reasons. Tradition would be one. We are often trained to do it. As children, we stretch out on the pew besides our parents. We're encouraged to sleep rather than be disruptive. Tradition. Another reason could be a personal factor. Lack of sufficient sleep during the week. Some medications make us sleepy. Low blood sugar. And concentration is broken. When concentration is broken, our minds drift. And we begin to doze. You know, not enough. Another possible reason would be indifference. Although, you know, we don't want to think of this as a possibility. I'm sure that it is. Sometimes people are turned off spiritually. They're not receptive to the ways the Holy Spirit works. You know, they think, oh, well, this isn't really going to pertain to me, so I'll just sit here and act like I'm paying attention. Sleep allows them to tune out the input. Carnality or lack of salvation entirely creates an indifferent attitude. People lack salvation in their lives, then they have a I don't really care type of attitude on what is being said. You have to really want to be fed the word, correct? Amen. Okay. I'm going to talk about this one, and I hope it doesn't apply to me very often. I'm sure it does at some point. But a dull, boring messenger. Preachers can be guilty of not organizing their material clearly and concisely. This leads to rambling or mumbling or unnecessary details. Sometimes they sound good in our head, but after you start to speak them, then you go, okay, did that really apply? Hey, it could be worse. I could stand on the mic and say to someone, as a previous pastor did, said from the microphone that it could be worse. You could allow your, I think the person said you could allow your dog to pee on your leg or something. I don't remember. But it was really stupid. And even afterwards, we just joked about it because it just is like, where did that come from? No. A failure to present the Word of God with genuine enthusiasm accompanied by fresh, specific illustrations and set forth in an unpredictable yet appropriate manner can cause boredom. And a monotonous voice only adds to those fighting the battle of the eyelids. Now, I don't like my voice. Other people do. I actually have people that I work, that customers, when I have one particular customer in Alabama that says, well, every time when he talks to me, my day is just improved. Okay. I'm like, okay, glad I could make your day. I don't like my voice. I don't like listening to my voice. My dad has suggested I listen to the sermons after they're recorded, and I haven't got to that yet. He suggested it as a tool for me to be able to recognize where the lulls are, but I don't preach of my own will. I preach of the Holy Spirit. So it's where my lulls are is, you know, because I'm waiting for the words from the Holy Spirit. And I have enough material on the paper to pull it together to be able to not allow too many of those times. But like I said, you can get distracted and get off track. At our previous church, we used to joke on the pulpit and say that the train had just left the station when you have a thought and you completely lose it. So we would sit in the pews and go, woo, and wait for the train to come back into the station for the pastor to be able to finish his thought. It's easy to do. It's easy, you know, we're up here on the microphone. It's just as easy for us to get distracted by what the children are doing and being concerned about if this one's being too distracting for someone else, you know. That's why we rely on the Holy Spirit. And that's the biggest thing. That's about the best thing that we have to overcome these things. But in all honesty, the messenger can be just as guilty as the hearer, and sometimes more. If a person just stands rambling, then obviously you're going to drift away. Lastly, physical factors, and this is especially true right now, and I believe it was especially true for the young man that fell out the window. Poor ventilation within the church creates that warm, cozy atmosphere. You know, even though we're not sitting in lazy boys here, we're sitting on wood pews, still far better than what others sit on, such as the ground or a log or cement. But it can create a stuffy atmosphere, and it makes it very warm. Obviously, this was the problem that, what was his name? At Eutychus. I can't say, I don't know why it won't stick in there. Eutychus had. The flickering lamps, just picture it, flickering lamps from all the torches and stuff, brought warmth up to where he was sitting on the ledge. I'm sure he perched up there on the ledge in the windowsill so that he could see. He was a young man. Room was filled. I'm sure he wanted to see who was speaking. So those lamps brought warmth up to where he was sitting, even though he was in front of a window. And it put a hypnotizing spell in the room. Poor lighting and obstructions of vision are additional causes. Right now we have poor lighting because we're trying to keep the heat down. But when you can't see, obviously that obstruction of your view takes away your focus and your concentration as well. So these are a few possible reasons why people choose to sleep in church. The cure? What could be the cure? Besides more sleep and enthusiasm? It's a team effort. Three parts working together. The building must be comfortable and conducive to worship, not like a funeral parlor where we're all standing up here, welcome to one body by the cross, monotone. I mean, I try not to speak or to too loudly and jump and, you know, catch off guard so that I'm screaming into the microphone, unless of course we need to yell at the children. And even still, we try not to do that from the microphone. Alrighty. The listener, so the building is the first part. Would help if we had obedient children. The building, the listener must be prepared physically, spiritually, and emotionally, ready for worship, ready to receive the word, hoping to receive something that applies specifically to them. I've heard them referred to as nuggets. Let me give you a nugget. Okay, so the building, the listener, and the speaker. The speaker must be alert and sensitive, not a clown or a cheerleader. Although, you know, I don't think a little humor is a bad thing. God, he has a sense of humor. We shouldn't always be giving a doomsday message. But the speaker must be aware of the most effective way to combat plainness, sameness, and tameness. The dreaded nisses. We must focus our hearts and minds and be prepared to receive the word that is being given by the Lord. We're called to open our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit, or the word that the Holy Spirit brings to draw us closer into the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's not the word of men that we stand up here and speak. It's the word of God, as it comes to our hearts and our minds, that it may touch you. We're called to open up our hearts, to be receptive, to seek fulfillment for our spirits. We seek fulfillment in substance for our bodies with the food that we and the drinks that we place in it. We have to seek the same thing for our spirits. We have to be fed spiritually so that we can continue to walk on and be obedient to God. If you don't receive the word of God into your spirit, you will become weak. The message tonight is not long. I'm just about done, actually, as a matter of fact. Do I need to do one of these numbers? Aaron's giving me signs to make it stretch. I chose this message tonight as just another way of showing you that God does have a sense of humor, that there are many different things in the Bible. We've talked about this many times. I mean, I would never make light of the Word of God. Everything in the Bible is in there for a reason. And it's mostly to show to you that God's in control of everything. We just have to be receptive to it. We have to be able to pay attention and understand and see how we can apply these things in our lives and in our hearts. But if you sit on the balcony and get sleepy, watch out. Good thing we don't have any balconies here. Eutychus, being dead, yet speaketh. Speaketh from the only book within Scripture that talks about such a thing, the only place in Scripture where his name is mentioned. And unfortunately, he had to be made an example to others so that they would know that even back then, in the days of Paul, they fell asleep in church. Not over 2000, well, this after Christ. Uh, I blame it on the ventilation. If it wasn't so hot in here, we wouldn't have that problem. But think about what they went through back then in this room. You know, you can understand why he fell asleep. I guess the good thing is that Paul was able to... I don't want to say that Paul was the one that actually restored his health or his life, because we know that God did that. But I guess that's one of the best examples, you know, and maybe even a word of warning. You may not get that chance nowadays. I'm not Paul. I don't know that I've been given the gift of healing. But, you know, it's important to remember why we gather. It's important to remember why we're here. And if we're honestly and truly here for the right reasons, we'll be interested in what the message is. And hopefully it won't be a subject that you don't feel like it'll ever apply to you. I just wish Ethan was here and could be entertained, because he thought it was pretty funny when I told him about it. But that's okay. We'll be able to discuss that with him soon. But we understand all these things, and maybe now we can avoid them. And hopefully the ventilation in our church will get repaired, and we'll be able to entertain all that need to come to hear the word of God, and we won't have to deal with those falling asleep in church, unless it's the children that, you know, can still be receptive, you know, when they're asleep. Alrighty. Well, that's the message tonight. I told you it was a short one. Well, we're only talking 6 verses that related to it, so I stretched it as far as I could. But I hope that this touches your heart, and that you, if for no other reason, it at least shows you that there are a lot of things in the Bible. And I have read the Bible I don't even know how many times anymore, and I still find new stuff. But that's the whole point. It keeps us coming back. There's many things in the Bible, not just preaching. There's a lot of adventure in there, as I mentioned on Sunday. You have to pick it up and read it. You have to pick it up and check it out to be able to be touched in your spirit. And hopefully it'll keep you awake, not make you sleepy. Amen. Alrighty. That's the message tonight. If all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand for dismissal.